trouble in my way.
Yes.
All of those verses I listen to, and it reminds me of where I'm at within my service to the Lord. Interesting series of lessons that will be taken from the seventh saying of Jesus on the cross. And as I've been preparing myself for this, it is a real challenge. And the reason it's such a real challenge is because of the world we live in. What do they call, you know, when you smell something for a while? What do they call that after a while? It kind of neutralizes itself. Desensitized. We live in a world where crime has made some of us desensitized. And I believe in serving Jesus, we become desensitized to the cross. That's why I say it's been a challenge just trying to put a lesson together. Because as I stop and I think about my relationship to God, I think I'm a little desensitized to the man that hung on that cross. And so as I wrote this lesson, I couldn't help but to think about how many of us are so desensitized from the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, we go through the motions. Oh yeah, we confess and say all of these things, but have we really become so complacent that the cross really has no effect? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, matter of fact, Paul talked about that very same thing. He said, he talked about that God used the preaching of the cross to confound the wisdom of this world.
Amen.
And most folks think preaching of the cross is foolishness. Right. Read your Bible, it's in there. And so as I prepared this lesson, I had to ask myself a question. Have I become like the rest of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Yes, I understand what transpired on the cross. But have I really become so desensitized that I just go through the motions? And as I wrote this lesson, I repented and I asked God to forgive me. Because when you stop and you think about the cross, what led up to the cross, if you don't start to tear up, something might be wrong with you. Because when you think about a man that knew no sin, but became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. Boy, if that don't move you, you become desensitized to the cross.
Yeah.
And as I stopped and I looked at this, I couldn't help but to say, Lord, forgive me for not recognizing what really transpired on Calvary Mountain. You made me in your image, and you made me for what purpose? To serve you.
Amen.
Not to serve myself, but to serve you and to make my life a living testimony to those around me. But I've become desensitized of the agony. Maybe I've become like O'Dowd and Thomas. Unless I put my y'all might not be feeling this, but I'm coming your way. Thomas said, unless I put my fingers in the hole and in his side, I will not believe. And Jesus says, blessed are those that have not seen and believe. But have we seen with the wrong set of eyes? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so as I looked at this lesson, and you know, Henry, what a challenge. What a serious challenge. Because most of the time when we think about death on the cross, all we think about is he bled, he died, he suffered, he rose again. I'm baptized for the remission of sin. I'm saved, once saved, always saved. We become desensitized to what that cross really represents. And as I started looking at this, I started asking some questions. I tried to harmonize this with the Gospels. Y'all looking at me funny. Y'all act like I don't know what I'm talking about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Preparations of the establishing of the church. The gospel of preparation. And as I started harmonizing these scriptures, I found something out. Everything is not in the Gospels. Not in all four of them, should I say. And as I started looking at this, I couldn't help but to say, Lord, have mercy. Have I become so desensitized that I really don't know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I preach his word. I teach his word. I try my best to live the way he says to live. But have I taken Jesus from the cross and put him on a shelf? See, I'm learning. You can go through the motions. Oh, yeah. Somewhere down the line, we have to understand that this Jesus that died on the cross represents something. Title of the lesson, before I go any further, you do what you want to me. I will forgive you, and so will my Father. Do what you want. I will forgive you, and so will my Father. Jesus here says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And sometimes I wonder, church, do we really know what we're doing? Because when I stop and I think about Jesus here, as they're going to lay him from hall to hall, as they persecute him, as they strip him of his garment, as they put on a purple robe, as they plant this crown of thorns upon his head, as they beat him beyond recognition, if that don't move you, you've become desensitized to the cross. Luke, the beloved physician. Matter of fact, the book of Luke is the longest book in the New Testament. I didn't know if you knew that or not. I didn't really know that until I started looking at what Luke is talking about. Not only is it the longest book in the New Testament, it's the most comprehensive and accurate account of the cross. Oh, yes. As I started looking at this and started researching about what Luke is, I'm saying, man, I've been in this thing a long time and I missed this. You know why I missed it? I become desensitized to that cross, not knowing what that cross really represents. Luke and the book of Acts takes up 28% of the New Testament. I didn't know that either, Kathy. Matter of fact, Luke writes 2,138 verses when I always thought Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, 13 to 14 books of the New Testament to be exact, I thought he wrote more than anyone else. I stand corrected. Paul only wrote 2,033. Oh, yeah. See, and so I'm learning to become more sensitive to what the cross really means. I often wonder, in 2017, have we become pilots? Have we become the chief priests? Have we quickly sentenced Jesus to death? And are we quick to crucify him? Because, see, when I look at us as believers, no matter what transpires in our lives, the first thing ought to come out of our mouths is we're willing to forgive, forget, and move. Church, I'm learning that when you really stop and you look at what transpired on this cross, you're going to see a Jesus that I think we're really disconnected from. Because Jesus' mindset was to do God's will. John chapter 8 and round about verse number 29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please my Father. And if we're children of God and the Father is our Father, do we? Or has the cross become of no effect? Church, I'm learning that when we really stop and look at this man that hung on the cross, it ought to make a difference in our lives. See, Jesus was the example of forgiveness. And I'm reminded that one of those disciples that he brought out of darkness had a question about forgiveness. And Peter shows me that I am just like him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and round about verse number 18 verse 21, I'm sorry.
Then came Peter to him, saying, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother that sinned against me? Boy, don't that sound like us?
Yeah.
Boy, because we're counting. And when we get to that 491, boy, my forgiveness for you is gone.
Wrong attitude, wrong mindset.
That's right.
Because the cross ought to dictate to me, no matter what you do to me, I will forgive you.
Amen.
My Father will also forgive you. So therefore, I have a totally different mindset when it comes to the cross. And so Peter here raises the question.
And he's like you and I, because he's looking for a way out. Amen, walls. And so the Bible says in verse number 22, and Jesus said unto him, Peter says, how many times shall I forgive him? Verse 21, till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say unto you, until seven times 70. Boy, that's us, ain't it? We're looking for the way that we can leap on those that stand in need. But Jesus is trying to teach Peter here a principle. The principle is, it's not how many times your brother or sister sins against you. It's what's your mindset when it comes to forgiving.
Yeah.
He hangs on a cross, and the first thing out of his mouth is, Father, forgive them. Why?
They know not what they do. We're sitting here this morning. Do you know why you're here?
Have you forgotten
what it's all about?
Church, it's not about just a Sunday and a Wednesday. This is a lifestyle.
Amen.
And as we live our lives, it must glorify and magnify the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being accused by the chief priests and the multitude, Jesus was willing to forgive them amidst all of the pain and suffering that he faced. I don't know about that.
You hit me, I'm going to try my best to knock you out. You know that. Come on now. You might as well be real. Because I don't know if I can stand there and give you my other cheek. No. We might be wrestling on the ground. But see, the attitude is I'm willing to forgive no matter what you do to me. You know why? I fear not him who can destroy the body, but I fear him who can destroy both body and soul and then cast it into hell. That's who I fear. And I'm learning, church, that when you really understand the cross, man, what can you do to me? You can't hurt me. Only thing you can do to me is send me on to glory. What a mindset, what an attitude. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew no matter what you do to me, I still remain victorious.
Amen.
No one takes my life, Jesus said. I lay down my life. I have it to lay down, and it's given from my Father. I can take it up again.
Yeah.
What? That's power, church.
Amen.
That's power to let me know that in the midst of everything that goes on, you can't hurt me.
Right.
All you're going to do is send me on to glory. I'm tired. Sometimes I get tired of the aching knees. I get tired of the aching back. Oh, yeah, sometimes I don't want to be bothered with me. But I'm thankful to God that he puts up with my moaning, groaning, and complaining.
Amen.
You might not.
Amen.
You may not, but I know somebody that will. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Been in this thing 15, 20 years. Do you really know what you're doing? Because, see, the cross has to represent more than a Sunday and a Wednesday. The cross has to represent a lifestyle for Jesus Christ.
The Bible said they led him from hall to hall. He was the example. See, I'm learning because true forgiveness comes from a true relationship with God.
Amen.
And the more you have a true relationship with God, the more you will understand that forgiveness comes from God himself. And seeing no matter what the circumstances or situations are, you will be able to rise above them because you'll understand what it's really all about. See, I'm talking about an attitude of forgiveness. Jesus had it. He had an attitude to forgive men because he understood the purpose that his Father sent him for. John chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have
everlasting life.
everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus understood that on the cross he would be victorious. Even though he raised some questions while on the cross, Lama, Lama, Iblakna, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh yes, as we deal with these, I want you to see that I think somewhere down the line, we have become so used to doing our thing that we really don't understand what the cross is all about. That's why he said judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely made it. Boy, that scares me to death. You know why? To be in this thing and still go to hell? Oh, no. To be in this and not make it? I can't even fathom that. But Peter says, if the righteous scarcely make it, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Church, I don't know about you. In that day of judgment, I want to make sure I'm right there with my Lord and Savior. Amen. So therefore, my life must be indicative to what I preach and what I teach. See, Jesus understood that. Jesus understood that on the cross, it didn't really matter because he had the victory.
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and around about 51 and following, Paul reminds us that even in death, you and I got the victory.
Amen.
And if we got it in death, then how should we act while we're on earth? Shall we be victorious? Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
But see, the only way you understand victory is understand who's on that cross.
Amen.
And I'm learning, church, that the more we understand that, the more you and I will understand our life. I want to show you something as we close. In John chapter 19, John recalls the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as he recalls this sacrifice, and then we're going to switch over to around about Matthew 27. And I'm going to show you some things here. Like I said, the Gospels, not all of them record the same thing. Father, forgive them is in the book of Luke. That's it. And you would think it would be throughout the entire Gospels. But you got to understand God's plan for mankind. The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse number 1. And see, like I say, sometimes we become so desensitized about that man on the cross. It's not till we go back and we think about it. Well, know about you, I'm guilty. Yes, I know I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. But how often do I think about that man that hung on that tree? Didn't say a mumbling word. Spat on him, mocked him, scourged him, and he says, Father, forgive them. Boy, I don't know if you messed with one of mine. I don't know. I don't know.
I would hope I would be able to say, Father, forgive them.
But look at what John said. The Bible says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Therefore, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in this man. And I want you to watch the text. See, because when you allow the world to dictate your level of Christianity, when you allow the things you might possess to be more important than the man that hang on the cross, you're a Pilate and just don't even know it. Because Pilate here knows good and well that the Jews brought Jesus for one purpose. Envy. Oh yeah, you talked about that this morning. And I want you to see that when you allow envy, malice, jealousy, and all of that stuff to encroach and to embrace your life,
You'd be just like Pilate. The Bible says,
I find no fault in him. Verse number 5 says, then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in this man. Boy, boy, boy. You know, that's what this world is all about.
Now, they're going to desensitize Pilate. And I said, what I'm asking us, have we become so church-orientated that we don't know that the church is alive and well? Amen. Have we become Christians where we just wear it and not live it? Pilate has become desensitized. He don't know it yet, but he's on his way. How many times do you have to tell somebody, I find no fault, before you get it? You know, just like the word no. What part of no you don't understand? The end or the old? Huh? What part you don't understand? I find no fault in this man. The Bible says in verse number 7, then the Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die because he makes himself the Son of God. Oh, watch Pilate now. Pilate's shaking in his boots. Because now Pilate is beginning to understand who this man really is. But he's going to become desensitized because of pressure, because of the people around him. The Bible says in verse number 8, when Pilate therefore heard the saying, he was more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, where art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Ooh. See, I tell you, we miss the power that's on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus here knows who he is. And why wouldn't you answer the king, Jesus? Because I'm king of kings. I'm Lord of lords.
Amen.
Boy, and when you understand that, church, boy, life takes on a whole new meaning. Why take thought for tomorrow when tomorrow is going to take care of itself?
Well,
that don't cost you nothing either. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 9, he went again unto the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, where art thou? But Jesus answered him not. Then Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? You don't know who I am, do you, Jesus? Question, do we really know who Jesus is? Because obviously, Peter didn't know who he was. But he knew one thing about him. He was an innocent man. But peer pressure and going through the motions will cut you up every single time. He says, speaketh not unto me, knoweth that thou, speaketh not unto me, knoweth thou not that I had the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee? Oh, boy, that next verse there is hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, because when you know who's in control of your life,
that's right.
Why are we weary? Take no thought for tomorrow. Jesus here is getting really ready to rock Pilate's world. Because Pilate already knows they sent him because of envy. Pilate already knows that there's nothing wrong with this Jesus. But when Jesus answered him, and I want you to see from the cross, Jesus has power even before the cross. And he has power after the cross. The Bible says, and he answered, thou could have no power over me except it be given thee from above. If that don't move you, church, something wrong with us. Did he not give us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in our everyday life? Did he not give us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us in times of need and times of trouble? Who has power over us then? Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. I know that's that Holy Ghost talking, and I know we're afraid of that Holy Ghost. But if I got the third person of the Godhead dwelling in me, why should I be afraid of anything? Why should I be not able to do what God commands me to do? Maybe we don't understand that person on the cross. The Bible says, thou could have no power over thee, except it be given thee above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee had the greater sin. And from that forth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speak against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set him down in the judgment hall. Matthew chapter 27. I want to show you something. And Jesus, verse 11. The Bible says in 27:11, and Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, then Pilate said unto him, hear thou not many things against that witness against thee? And he answered them neither a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Boy, you talk about being desensitized and not understanding who's in front of you. The Bible says, drop down to around about verse number 22. The Bible says, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Verse number 24. The Bible says, when Pilate saw, what did he see? He saw an innocent man. The Bible says, when he saw, that he could not prevail, he took some water and he washed his hands. How many of us have washed our hands from Jesus? See, because death on the cross is a whole lot more than just a Sunday and a Wednesday. Death on the cross means that I've surrendered my will to the will of the Father. The Bible says when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, he washed his hands. And look at what he said. The Bible says when he saw that he could not prevail, but that the rather grow a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person. See to it. Church, no matter what transpires, do you really know the man on the cross? See, Jesus' mindset was to do the will of his Father. No matter of the situation or the circumstance, Jesus understood the purpose of fulfilling God's law. Jesus understood that in the midst of everything that went on, if I am going to be an example of my Father, as you persecute me, as you led me from hall to hall, as you beat me, as you smoked me, I want you to know I forgive you. And so will my Father. Hope and pray I've said something this morning to encourage your heart, church. Interesting. Because it makes me realize maybe I know the man on the cross, but haven't followed through with what the man on the cross really represents in my everyday life. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, visitors not knowing, want to encourage you, you've heard the word of God, Romans 10:17. Believe it, be ready to be baptized in water for the remission of sin, and he gives you his Holy Spirit. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, have you become disconnected with the cross? Repent, get on the right track. It's just that simple. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of